The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live right now, email us, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome to Down the Garden Path. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. My vision, as you know, my vision for this show every week is to provide down-to-earth practical advice for your garden, plants, and all things landscaping. And of course, my favorite topic, landscape design. Great landscapes start with a great plan, after all. But today we're going to be talking about something that affects the garden and affects us. We're going back and we're talking about bees. As we know, bees are very important in the garden, and they are great but they are also a great indicator to our health as well. And everywhere you turn right now in social media or even the regular media, trade shows, etc., people are talking about bees. So once again, I'd like to welcome Steve Lawrence, a local in my area here, Kendall, Ontario, beekeeper, for us to continue our discussion from about over a month ago and talk about bees. So I don't know if you remember, Steve, like I said, is from Kendall, and he is his farm is called Dare to Dream Farms, and he's the owner of Sweet Dreams Honey. So I'd like to welcome Steve to the show.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi, welcome again.
Thank you.
So, I'm dying to know, and I'll ask the question about 6 weeks ago when we talked, you were waking up a few of your bees, but I'm assuming with spring almost here, you have started to wake up the rest of your hives.
Yep, it was mixed emotions on the weekend. So, what we did is we put half of our hives inside a barn for the winter, because I had such a massive loss last year on the farm with bees. We lost 80% of our bees last year, so
wow.
I thought I'm going to try something different. We tried two things different.
Okay.
We put half the hives inside a barn. The other half, we left them as though a traditional beekeeper would. We wrapped them in insulation, buttoned them down, made sure they were plenty heavy enough, and then left them over the winter. And in roughly, I'm going to say March, I had to go and open up my drive shed where I was keeping the hives because it was starting to warm up enough they wanted to go out, so I opened up the door so that they could come in and out during the day, and
right.
Every time I closed it up.
Okay.
The only problem is the hives do not go to the washroom in the hives. So the bees don't go to the washroom in the hives. They actually leave the hive.
Okay.
And they explode all over everything.
Okay.
So my drive shed, it looks like it's got painted dots
all
over the riding lawnmower and everything else that was in there. So.
Okay.
It was okay. I mean, hey, you know what? They're still alive, so that
yes.
was great. We moved them outside and set them up, and we had really minimal loss with those hives. And we left everything until this past weekend. And this past weekend, I got two new beekeeper helpers that have come on board with me, which is my oldest son and my future daughter-in-law.
Oh, okay.
And they want to be beekeepers, so they came on board with me, and
excellent.
First time for them getting in the hives.
Okay.
We opened up all of the hives, even the outside ones, and we had a good look and check out what's going on, and I'm happy to tell you the hives that were inside the barn We had minimal loss.
Okay.
We've got beehive colonies that are just overflowing with bees. So it's almost like they're a month ahead. They're doing really, really well.
Excellent.
The bees outside, we lost 95%.
95. And you said 80 last year and now 95.
Yeah. So it was like, oh, no. So as a beekeeper, that's just like a major shot to you because you feel it's your fault. You must have done something wrong. And what did you do wrong? And who knows what's going on. But I do know it was a great day because I had my son and future daughter-in-law. And that was really good.
Yes.
And we know that this fall we're going to take our barn, which is currently has goats in it. The goats are going to go out. And it's a 40 by 60 former potato insulated storage barn. And we're going to try and get 60 to 100 hives in that potato barn for next winter.
For the winter.
Yeah. And then we'll open the doors up until December, roughly Christmas time, close the doors up until Easter, open them up, and let them do their thing.
Okay. So will you? Do you think you'll do any outside?
Nope.
Nope.
Definitely not.
No.
And the other thing we tried, which was really interesting, was last year we got a lot of dysentery. So we took 10 of the hives, and we actually treated them with tea tree oil.
Okay.
Which, you know, they claim the fame.
Yes.
Tea tree oil will treat everything.
Yeah.
We added tea tree oil to the water. Now, oil and water don't mix, so we emulsified it, which means that you spin it really hard and create an emulsification, and added it to the water, and we fed them in the late fall, early winter, this tea tree oil water. Those hives have zero dysentery on them at all. So it was really an amazing little experiment.
But they still died?
No, those were the ones inside.
Oh, sorry, the ones inside. Okay.
Yeah. No, they were phenomenal. So that could have attributed to why they did so well, too.
Yes. Yeah,
so
now that
95%,
so can you tell when they died? Like, did they die in the winter? Did they die in the last 6 weeks?
So basically, we open the hive, and we see tons of dead bees on the very bottom. We'll find the cluster, and what it is the cluster is basically the bees that have to try and stay warm. So what... Across the province, what we're hearing is the bee health is weakened from neonics, from whatever.
Right.
The cluster is too small to keep them warm. So we see the clusters, a very small cluster, and their heads are stuck in honey. The boxes still, which went into winter with 110 pounds of honey, still have 105 pounds of honey.
Oh, so
they've got lots and lots of honey. So when did they die? Probably the second cold snap.
Right.
So they got weak, and then they died the second cold snap. And those were all very strong hives going into winter.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's not, as a beekeeper, as a farmer, it's really a shot to say, what is going on?
Right.
You know, and in Europe, they put all the beehives, they try and put all the beehives in shelters for the winter, and it might be the way of the future here.
Yeah.
The other thing is, we don't know, we may have to start thinking in terms of the cost of beekeeping is buy new bees every spring. And what survived the winter, that's the cost of beekeeping.
Right. But where do you get new bees from?
Like, so what we do is we take our hives now, which are teeming over hives.
Okay.
And I'm desperately waiting for my queens to arrive. So I've ordered queens. They come from Australia because Australia is the opposite season of ours. So their season's finishing.
Right.
So they've got a lot of queens. So they ship their queens up here by the thousands and thousands and thousands of queens to beekeepers like myself.
Okay.
I'll take a hive that's teeming over, and I'll split it at least once to make either two or three hives out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take a big population of bees, add a queen, and put it in a brand new box.
Okay.
And do it that way, and try and, you know, double, triple this. And then I can also buy packages of bees where I get 4 pounds of bees and a queen and put them into their own hive.
Right. So for our listeners and myself, how many bees... Are like if you're starting out now, like how many bees would be in one hive?
So there's probably in my stronger hives right now, there's probably 10 to 15,000 bees.
Wow. So that still seems like a lot of bees.
It does. But we want to get that up to 40 to 65,000.
Per hive?
Per hive to really get a good strong production of honey come August.
Okay.
So it's all about giving them food, and we're not ones to use refined sugar, so we like to give them back honey, so I save honey back from the year.
Okay.
Plus the hives that died, we call them dead outs. That honey, we could harvest that honey and sell that honey, but instead we give it back to the bees.
Okay. So but it's not contaminated at all.
We hope not.
Yeah. Well, just in the sense that the dead bees have been in it all winter, but
yeah, we don't think that that's the issue so much as the weakness of the bees.
Right.
And what they're saying is with the neonics, though, the weakness is they didn't come back to the hive. They couldn't find their way back.
They couldn't find their way back.
And that's the biggest part of the weakness.
Yeah. Yeah. Were there less bees in the hives than you expected? Of the dead. Okay.
Yeah, no.
No.
It's just, and for my son and my future daughter-in-law, they're just looking at it going, you can just hear them just crumble, just like, oh, no, another one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? It's a great day. I'm working with you guys.
Yes.
Because normally I'm doing that by myself and just going, oh, no, another one.
Yes, yes,
you know, but
for
at least
sure.
I've got two young people that are going, hey, you know what? So, yeah, it was nice to share with them. It really was.
For sure. And I think it's great to see the next generation want to carry something like that on.
Absolutely.
And show an interest, because I think I think you coined the phrase for me last time was I think the bees are really the canary in the coal mine.
Absolutely.
What's affecting them could possibly be affecting us.
Yeah, I got some very I don't know if you want to call it disturbing, some, but I had heard some very disturbing stuff last week from George Scott from the Niagara Beeway, and he expressed the studies that they've done on pesticides in the Niagara Beeway, and if you consider that as a very closed-loop area, the Niagara area where all the vineland is.
Yes,
and all the,
yep. I'm from there. I'm actually from Welland, so that whole, I know it's quite a growing, from the wine to the plants and everything, it's quite a growing region.
They've done test after test after test, and they cannot find any water or any soil that does not have pesticide in it anywhere there. And the question is how much more pesticide until they go over the tipping point?
Yeah.
And, you know, your indicator for the listeners is watch for the swallows coming back. Watch the creeks to see how much bugs are around.
Okay.
You know, it'd be nice if the mosquitoes and black flies numbers drop.
Yeah, I know. That never seems to happen, does it?
That's not good for the birds, but
yes,
something is affecting it. And basically what they're saying is that the neurological effects on the young that are produced by the swallows and by that animals and wildlife, the young neurological effects are what's killing it, so that it doesn't actually produce the babies.
Right. So it's you know, the circle of life kind of thing.
Yeah. And then he mentioned, which is I should mention to all the listeners, when you see the desalting program going on the road and you think, oh, that's wonderful, they're using something more than salt and they're spraying it down, they're actually using beet juice.
Right.
Is what they're using.
And I thought that was a good thing.
It's a really good thing, other than the fact that it's industrial beet juice.
Beet juice.
And nobody's questioned how much pesticide is in the beet production.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's off the scale.
Is it?
It's off the scale. So it runs into the ditch. Neonics are extremely water-soluble, so they travel with the water system and they get into everything. So when your little dandelion that you mentioned, you've seen a dandelion, soaks it up, the bee drinks it, it's now got pesticide in it.
Okay.
So that's kind of on a sad note, but
yeah, yeah. And so the beet juice, which I thought was a good thing, those beets, are they manufactured or grown and then manufactured into this liquid here in Canada or Ontario?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I don't know really where they're from, but apparently they're a lot like the garden flowers that you're now hearing about.
Right.
That are loaded with neonics. Now, yep. Lowe's has just said that they're going to ban all neonic products in their stores.
Yes, I read that, but they said by 2019. Honestly, where are we going to be in 4 years,
well,
Steve?
Well, as George said, the tipping point, they don't know. It could be any day.
Yeah.
You know, where the Alzheimer's and the autism and some of the other neurological effects go past the point of no return.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, well, on that happy note.
Yeah, well, you know what? If you're going to take a break now and we come back, I'll tell you about my trip to Costa Rica and Francisco.
Okay, well, that sounds great. So now we have our guest calling commercials, Gary. So thank you very much, Steve. And it's time for a commercial break. You're listening to Down the Garden Path. I'm Joanne Shaw, and you'll be right back on Reality Radio 101.
Are you looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario, or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price. When you visit Peacock Lumber, you will step back in time to a place where purchasing wood products was simple, efficient, and pleasant. In our office, you can view our large selection of moldings and receive advice from knowledgeable sales staff. Once you have decided on your order, you can pick up your materials in our drive-through yard or utilize our delivery service. For pickups, take your vehicle out to our traditional lumber yard, where someone is always there to assist you. If you are accustomed to purchasing wood products at a box store, you will be impressed by the variety, selection, and quality of products that we offer, and the ease in which you get your vehicle loaded and get you on your way. Peacock Lumber is conveniently located on 8 acres in central Oshawa. It was started in 1939 by Victor Peacock and remains family-owned and operated. If you need quality wood products for your renovation, please call us at 905-725-4744. That's 905-725-4744. Or for a full list of products and prices, go to www.peacocklumber.ca. Come to Peacock Lumber first to get the price, selection, quality, and service that you expect. The following program will make you want to grow things, including bees, and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live, email her right now, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you very much. We are back listening to Down the Garden Path and a chat about bees with beekeeper Steve Lawrence. Welcome back, Steve.
Welcome back to you.
So when we did talk in March, you appeared on the show, and then I think a couple days later you were headed off to a holiday in Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm.
And you were going to visit some beekeeper in Costa Rica. So I'd love to hear about that.
So basically, when we travel, we always make sure, I make a point, and I'm kind of, OCD about it, but I want to know every day what I'm doing. I'm not one to sit around on a beach. I'm terrible at that.
Okay.
And I'm always on the go. So I arrange a tour guide wherever I'm going and say, okay, the first day I'm going to do this, second day I'm going to do that, and I have the whole week planned. So on this trip, we wanted to go see a beekeeper in Costa Rica, and to the tour guide, that was kind of strange because he had never heard anybody saying they want to go visit a beekeeper. So he found a friend of a friend of a friend who only spoke Spanish, lived up in the mountains, and said, yeah, he'd be willing to take us up there. I had to pay for a translator to go as well.
Right.
And we went up to visit Francesco and his wife, And when we arrived at their house, it was like a very small little house, and they brought us in, and such nice people, and really trying to grapple with English. And I mean, I gave up on Spanish. I'd like to know it, but I really gave up. So translating between it, but you can tell by his expressions, he was nervous but excited about, like, why the heck was I there?
Right.
Why would I want to come and visit him? And he took us into his garage, and I should say right off the bat that traditional old beekeepers, so this guy's in his 80s, traditional old beekeepers are extremely frugal.
Okay.
To put it mildly.
Okay.
So he's showing us the extractor that he built to extract the honey from the frames. He's showing us how he cuts the comb honey out and does it all by hand. And it's you know, it's really old school technology without using any of the current stuff you can go buy from the bee supply store.
Right. But would that be accessible to him in Costa Rica?
Absolutely. And it would be acceptable here.
Okay.
It's just, you know, that's traditional old school beekeepers. And he said, you know, one of the issues is it was a hot day. It was probably 35, 38 degrees where
wow.
we were going to go. And I'm in shorts, but I'm going to put pants on to go in the bee yard. And he said, we have Africanized bees here. You have to suit up.
Okay.
So my wife looked at me, I looked at her, and I went, okay. I didn't bring my suit, but yeah, we can suit up. And we turn and look, and he had taken this cheesecloth-type netting, cut a square out, used a square piece of plastic from some kind of grocery store where you'd get donuts, piece of plastic.
Okay.
Silicone that in. That was the window.
Oh, geez.
To look out. Put us on a hat, and then I said, well, I brought pants with me. I brought my just pair of white pants with me. I threw the white pants on. He goes, you have to wear boots. I'm like, no, you know what? I'm okay. It's like 36 degrees. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
It can't be that bad. And but he was really concerned for our safety. And then
okay.
we followed him to another section where we went to a coffee plantation. And in this coffee plantation, we walked down through the coffee plantation. And this isn't a tourist place at all. This is a working coffee farm.
Right, okay.
We walked down and around, and we came out to his bee yard. And he did have 400 beehives, and he was down to about 40 because he was getting closer to retirement.
Okay.
And it looked like a bomb went off. And I just went, wow, that's kind of the way my bee yards look sometimes in the summertime when I don't have help.
Right.
And I'm really messy, and it just kind of looks like a bomb went off. But, you know, you're not going to comment because it looks like a disaster. And
yeah.
walking around, and I'm looking at the hives, and all the hives have big holes in them. And they look terrible. And I'm thinking, man, what's going on here?
So and the hives are, so for our listeners, are the hives wooden?
Yeah,
wooden boxes. So now they have holes on them, and they shouldn't.
They have holes in the sides of them with bees coming out of the holes.
Okay.
They have, you know, a big chunk missing out of the corner.
Okay.
Half of it's missing, and I'm thinking, this is kind of, like, really weird.
Yeah.
But you know what? He made his own equipment. Maybe he can't afford boxes or whatever.
Right, right.
So I had to ask him, and I said to him, I said, you know, what's with your hives? You know, I'm looking at a hive over here, big holes, and then he goes, termites.
Oh.
And I went, oh, man. We have bears.
Yes.
We have mites to deal with. We have mice and ants. He's got termites.
Wow.
So every one of his boxes can get affected, and he can't use pesticide to kill the termites.
For
and
sure.
The termites are actually protected in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
And so his biggest enemy is this termite.
Oh, goodness.
That'll get in there and eat his boxes if they're left unattended.
Now, do they affect the bees and the honey?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. But they just eat up his boxes, and he's got to get new boxes.
Oh, jeez.
So he's got to keep them off the ground. He keeps them on a cut 45-gallon drum, so it's steel, so I guess it's harder for them to access.
Yeah.
They still figure out how to get to it.
Yeah. So it shows you no matter where you are, there's challenges.
There's challenges with beekeeping.
Yes.
So we open up the first box, and, well, first we go through this whole process of lighting the smoker and how to light a smoker, and I think he thought I had never beekeep before, so
okay.
I'm just letting him go through the motions, and he's getting the smoker lit, and I'm thinking, man, you got enough smoke there for about 4 hours. Okay, I just want to have a quick look in your hives and make sure your bees look like my bees, and
yeah.
It's all great. I haven't been able to beekeep since the fall. So we go over to the first hive, and we lift the lid, and he smokes and smokes and smokes, and the bees settle down, and then we start pulling frames out, and that's the frames inside. There's 10 frames in each box. We
okay.
pull frames out, and he's trying to show me the queen. And I'm pointing out to the translator, who's terrified.
Oh, geez.
Never been in a bee yard.
Oh, no, yes. You had to take the translator in with you. Oh, my
course.
Goodness.
I got to be able to talk. I've got to be able to communicate.
Yeah.
And, but he's fascinated, but he's terrified.
Okay.
You can just tell he's terrified. Like, these 80,000 bees are in the hive.
Oh.
And we're going through, and I'm pointing out, well, yeah, this is the eggs. This is the larvae.
Yeah.
This is the stage they're at now. And Francisco, so the translator, just kind of looks at me. He looked at the translator and goes, he knows what he's talking about. Yes, he knows what he's talking about.
So he finally got it.
He got it, right, at that point. And I'm thinking, why do I have my suit on?
Yeah.
Because really, that on that kind of heat, that kind of day, in my yard, I would have, maximum would be a veil, maximum. Normally, it would be nothing at all.
Right.
And I said, you know, where's the Africanized bees? Well, there's none right now, but they could be. So it was more of a fear for him, a cover your butt kind of thing for him.
But yeah.
At the same time, you know, he found the queen, and he was so proud to show us the queen. And we went back to his, garage, I've got to go back. In the airport, I got stopped by customs. I brought a case of honey with me.
Oh, okay.
And they wouldn't allow it through the border.
Oh.
And I wanted to bring him honey and all the other people that I was seeing down
right.
there to give them honey, and they wouldn't allow it through the border. But they didn't catch my 3 bottles of maple syrup underneath the honey.
Oh, okay.
So that was good news.
You had that.
Yeah, so we come back to his garage, and his wife had fresh-cut fruit, and I said, here, you've got to try this. And he had never tried maple syrup before.
Wonderful.
And he just thought that was amazing. He ended up giving us a bottle of honey to the translator and myself.
Yes.
And it was a really nice connection day with another beekeeper.
That's wonderful. Now, would his honey taste the same as our honey?
No. Well, you know, it's honey is honey is honey. It's not really true. You can taste a different flavor.
Okay.
So his is really coffee honey. So
oh, yes.
You don't taste the coffee in it, but it's got a very mellow, buttery taste
yeah.
to it.
And were those his coffee? I want to say orchard, but
no,
plantation?
It
wasn't. Okay.
Yeah, we met the coffee farmer.
And okay.
He was getting his son off to school. And
yeah, interesting.
He didn't speak English either, but his coffee farmer is looking at me going like, why are you tramping around my farm?
Yeah, to look at bees.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Is anybody crazy enough to want to go look at the bees? So
yeah.
Yeah, I would strongly suggest anybody that's going away on a holiday to try and hook up with a beekeeper and go taste their honey and see what's going on.
That seems like a really interesting thing to do. So they have so aside from the termites and the Africanized bees, no pesticides or anything, they're not...
Costa Rica is on the very forefront of environmental responsibility.
Excellent.
So Costa Rica, basically, they understand their number one industry is tourism, and it's ecotourism.
Okay, yeah.
So it's the rainforest and all the connection between the wildlife and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So Costa Rica immediately shut down every gold mine in Costa Rica because of the tailings pond for refining the gold uses arsenic.
Okay.
No more of that. Now, big agriculture still has a way there because Dole is there.
Right.
Dole is the cantaloupes and the watermelon.
And pineapple, no.
And the pineapple.
And
they're still using a lot of pesticides.
Okay.
So they don't know all the effects of the pesticides. They're really kind of behind on that.
Right.
But that's an issue there as well. But
yeah.
You know,
and I guess it would have been through the translator really hard for you to explain to him what we're going through here.
Yeah, he didn't really get it. I told him to come up to Canada. I'll find him a translator here.
Yeah,
we can continue our
for
conversation.
Sure. All right. Well, let's backtrack a bit regarding your bees. Now, have you must have been, when you discovered the 95% loss, have you been in contact with other neighboring bees keepers or beekeepers,
yep.
let's say, from Niagara region? Like, is this kind of an Ontario trend?
Yeah. So basically the Ontario trend is they check their hives in January, February. They check their hives. The hives were all alive. They died between January, February, and now.
Okay.
Is when they died. So it was like a late spring die-off.
Okay.
All the same thing where there's still lots and lots of honey in the boxes. The clusters are very, very small. And the die-off is kind of unexplained.
Right. So it's just they're not strong enough to make it through the winter.
Right. They just weren't there to make it through the winter.
Yep. Okay.
So on that note, I don't know what's going to happen as far as beekeeping in Ontario goes. There's a lot of guys getting out of beekeeping because they just can't do it anymore.
Right.
They go 5 years and that's it, you know.
Yeah.
If you want to make $1 million beekeeping, you got to spend $1 million
wow.
invested in beekeeping.
Yeah.
So after 5 years, you say enough's enough.
Yeah. Now, when does your, so now that you've opened the bees, I know nothing's really, I was telling you earlier I was going to say off camera, but we weren't really on camera, about my first dandelion that I saw today.
Yeah, I got excited about that.
Yeah, so what are the bees? So now, like, when does the quote-unquote season start for the bees, or what are you doing now?
Okay, so the boxes right now, we basically take them back to the minimal of boxes. So in the fall, the top box would have been, there's two boxes in the colony if we do a double. The top box is more the honey stores. Down below is where the queen with her cluster is.
Okay.
By this time of year, by the end of the winter, she's moved everything up to the top. They're all together up in the top, and the bottom is empty or finished pretty much.
Okay.
So she's not in the baby-making mode because she needs pollen and she needs energy.
Okay.
So the first thing they do is they go out and they'll find tree pollen and the very first trees, which are the maple trees and some of the tree sap.
Okay.
Yesterday I was walking around my woodyard where I cut firewood, and there was about 100 bees frolicking around the wood chip pile. And I've never seen it before. So basically, they're walking along the wood chips, and then they tunnel underneath, and they kind of like go on their back and flutter around. I'm thinking, are they trying to clean themselves? What are these bees doing? And most of them were the young bees, and the young bees are the fuzzy ones.
Yeah.
So I got online, and I said, like, what were they doing? And the thought is that they were collecting propolis and dust. And what propolis is, that's basically tree resin, tree sap.
Okay.
You'll hear about it in nutritional worlds where they add propolis to a tincture.
Oh, yes, and cream. I think I've got some aloe, like some cream for my son that has propolis in it.
Yes.
And it really, it's quite a thick.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Well, what happens in the beehive, the propolis is the glue that holds the hive together.
Okay.
So the boxes with the holes in it that Francisco had, they will fill that hole with propolis.
Oh, okay.
So when we go to open our box, we need what we call a hive tool to break the two boxes apart because they're so tightly glued together.
Okay.
Because these bees have sealed up all the cracks and they've sealed everything up with tree propolis.
Okay.
So that's what they're doing at the start. So they're going after that. They're going after the tree flowers, which are the maple and the basswood trees and those tree flowers. That's the first thing they're looking for.
And which is still not quite there yet, right?
No.
Yeah.
No, we just ended maple syrup.
Okay.
Because the buds are just starting to crack.
Okay.
As soon as the buds crack in maple syrup, the syrup gets an off taste, and the sap actually goes stringy and kind of gooey and gross.
All right, so that's season.
Yeah, so the buds is finished, but that means it's going to be beekeeping time.
Okay.
So what's going to happen is with my hives, we're trying to build up the numbers. So we've added pollen patties to them, so they're pre-made patties with pollen.
Okay.
And I've given them honey from the dead out. So we've got frames sitting around the yard, and on a day like yesterday's today, between the hives that are right in my yard, there might be a couple 100,000 bees buzzing around.
Okay.
And they go voraciously clean up that honey and bring it back to the hive, and they're building their numbers.
Okay.
So what I'm trying to do is encourage them to start having babies.
Yes.
And build the numbers. And if I can have double boxes within the next 4 weeks just teeming over with bees, and my queens come in, I'll add a queen to another box, take half the bees, put it in there, and now I've got two hives.
Okay.
Yeah.
So would you be able to, is the goal to kind of get back to where you were in the fall?
No, the goal is to get even bigger.
Even bigger.
I'd like to get, I've got help now.
Yes, yes, for sure.
So now that I've got help, I mean, they would like to see us. If we could ever get to 100 beehives, you're allowed to legally produce mead wine.
Oh, okay.
So mead is kind of one of our earlier goals, but we're working on another project, a big project with the honey right now as well.
Okay.
That's coming.
All right. So your goal is 100 beehives. So how many would you have now?
12.
12. Oh, okay.
We got a lot of work ahead.
Yes,
of
I would say
I
so.
Have
37, sorry.
37 going into winter.
Sorry, how many?
37.
37. Okay. So now you're to 12. Okay.
But I mean, I feel very comfortable that I can split these maybe twice.
Yes.
And then I'll add package bees, so I'll actually buy bees.
Yeah.
Because I've got enough. We call it, every box is called woodenware. I've got lots of woodenware. I've got all the equipment. And we just have to, you know, add bees.
Right. Now, is there something, the beehives that you opened where the bees had died, do you have to disinfect those?
No, we've got to get rid of all the dead bees, clean them out.
Right.
Any of the frames, which are, we call them, so they start with plastic or wax frames.
Okay.
And they wax them out, or they comb them out to make the little honeycombs.
Yes.
I traditionally don't like to reuse dead out frames that have had wax built out.
Okay.
The only reason is what I'm being told is the pesticide is, chances are, it's in that old wax.
Right.
And we want to get rid of that. So I'm building right now a solar wax melter, and we'll put the frames in the solar wax melter. And apparently, heavy bright UV sun rays break down the pesticides.
Okay.
So the wax will melt to the bottom and also hopefully treat the chlorine nicotine molecules and break it down. Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Okay.
I'll have to test it. Yeah. I'll have to send it away to a lab to get tested.
Now, when you said you get your queens from Australia because they're off season for us, do you then sell your queens to them?
I'm not in the queen rearing business.
Okay.
I don't rear queens, but
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
The big queen producers in Ontario produce thousands and thousands of queens in the late summer, early fall,
okay.
And they send them to Australia.
Okay, so then there's this kind of import-export swapping.
Yeah, well, the biggest issue is that we don't know the result of as well, is that queen, when she comes from Australia, she's never seen minus temperature. She wasn't bred for minus temperature.
Right.
So if you can get an Ontario-produced queen, an Ontario-bred queen, you should be better off,
right,
theoretically.
Okay. Well, that's a good point, too, as well.
Yeah, but our queens won't be ready until the end of June, start of July.
Okay.
Which is really getting late for us to build producing honey boxes for this year. It's okay for next year.
Yes.
But I'm at the point where I don't want to... I'm not producing beehives for next year right now. I'm producing for honey for this year.
For this year. Okay.
Yeah, I've kind of taking a step back to say, you know what, we've got to have producing boxes by August.
Right, by August is the goal.
Yep.
So when can you start, I don't know, is it called harvesting honey?
Yep. If the weather continues on, so we get those, yesterday was a nice day, today was a nice day.
Yeah.
If the weather continues on, we might be able to get some really light honey, not a lot, but some really light honey from the milkweed in June.
Oh, okay. So that's considered early.
Yeah, that's my favorite honey.
Okay.
Yeah, and we wouldn't take a lot. We would just take a few frames.
Right.
And it is so thin and mild. It's just delicious honey.
Okay. And then the bulk of it is kind of later,
August.
July, August?
Yeah, August.
Okay.
We're trying to be all finished by Labor Day weekend.
Okay. So it really is a short season.
Yes, it is.
Wow. Kind of like my landscape design season. I can completely relate, Steve.
Yes. Yes. A lot of prep.
Yep.
And then make hay while the sun shines.
That's right. That's right.
And in our game, we can only play the cards of Mother Nature deals.
Exactly.
We don't have a choice.
Yep. Well, anything in the landscaping industry is we're limited by the weather. We're limited by a lot of things, but that's for sure. So.
Yeah, and I mean, the frugal beekeeper today doesn't work because you really have to adapt and change.
Okay.
You know the tea tree oil trick that came from the bee man out of North Carolina. Putting your beehives inside a barn. While we're hearing that down in Quebec, they're putting them in reefer trailers, like a highway trailer that would be an air-conditioned trailer. They drop the temperature to 38 degrees Fahrenheit. They have a humidity control on one end, and when the humidity reaches a certain level, the fan turns on and circulates the air inside the whole reefer, and then shuts off. But they put them in absolute darkness for the winter at a controlled temperature, controlled humidity, and they have less than 10% losses.
Wow. So that may just be the future.
That might be the ticket. So my 40 by 60 insulated barn might be the next big reefer.
So then so basically anybody that is a supporter or disagrees with the claim that the neonics are affecting them, they're just claiming that it's just weather related.
I wish.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I wish.
Okay.
You know, and I'm not going to... Like I said before, my father was a corn farmer. So
yes, yeah.
I'm not against any farmers.
Yes.
What they're saying is it's right now the issue isn't with the farmer. If the farmer is one truckload of neonics in Ontario, there's seven more truckloads that are being applied to horticulture flowers, the ones that you see at Lowe's.
Yes.
The little thing that you put on the back of your dog's neck for flea and tick prevention.
Yes, yeah.
That's 1,500 times the dosage they would put on any corn seed.
Wow.
It's very water soluble. So when your dog goes out to take a pee, he now throws neonics all over the lawn.
Really?
So
it's
moving through our water system very quickly.
Yeah. The other thing I was wondering about, I'm not you know, I certainly support the farmers, and I'd like to grow my own vegetables, but I'm not a seed starter. I'm the practical person. I want to buy my vegetables started and then plant them from there. So I was wondering about those plants, like the lettuce plant and the tomato plants that I'm buying from the nurseries.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Are you?
Because I tried to start seeds, because we went to Heritage Seeds, and we got them from the Cottage Gardener in Newtonville, which are great people. The neighbors of ours, and I started seeds 2 weeks ago, and nothing's popped.
Yeah.
And I went, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go to one of these stores and go to Farm Boy. And what they're saying is you've got to ask to see if anybody's tested for pesticide.
Okay.
And I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. Yeah, I've been trying to, if any of our listeners are out there, I've been trying to figure out how to best find out the answer to that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
it would be really interesting to know.
It'd
be also interesting to know what I did wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just think it is a production, and I know on TV they make it sound so simple, but I think if you don't have the lights and you don't have the temps and you don't have, you know, it really is, you don't have the proper soil mixture and, you know, it's not for the faint of heart. It really isn't. And I think it's challenging. So, and
well,
then I don't think all of them, all the plants are, you know, viable.
Right.
So,
you will have some that won't pop no matter what.
Yeah. Now, I do want to ask about what the average homeowner can do to help with the bees. I think we talked a bit about this last time.
Yep.
And I did get a question on Twitter from one of my followers, Lake Ridge Pops. And he said he put one of those solitary bee nests on his barn.
Okay.
And he wanted to know what you thought about that.
Yeah, that's fine. Anything to help the pollinators. I mean, If the pollinators are on your farm or on your property, like a bumblebee nest or the natural bee, the native bee to us, if you see their nest and it's not bothering you, just leave them be.
Okay, literally.
Like a bumblebee goes into winter as one bee, the queen.
Okay.
There's not a whole hive of them, so she doesn't have to keep them all alive. She's got one.
Okay.
And that's why we don't see the bees and the wasps until later on in the summer, because it takes so long for her to get the numbers up.
Right. All right.
But, yeah, if you see the pollinators, I mean, I encourage all pollinators.
Okay.
I would think the biggest thing is to ask, if you're in the Durham region, ask the Durham region, what is there any pesticide in that beet spray?
Okay.
Because
that's something we have to find out, yeah.
And it's wiping it out. In your gardens, when you go to Lowe's or Home Depot, really try and buy the stuff without the neonics in it.
Yeah, for sure.
It's really critical.
Okay. So these bee nests, and I know Lee Valley's carries kind of the mason. Are they mason bees?
Mason bees, yeah.
Yes. Those are good because those are something, those bees are also not going to harm us. So that's something that homeowners can have.
Right.
And that's all can help contribute to the pollinators.
Absolutely.
So are they honey creating bees, or they're just pollinators?
They're just pollinators.
Okay.
The amount of honey or nectar that they produce is just for their own babies.
Okay.
We haven't found a commercial way to do it. The greenhouses use bumblebees.
Okay.
But their nests are, they don't get any honey from it. It's just for pollination.
Okay.
So yeah, and if you're as a homeowner, if you see a swarm of bees, try and track down your local beekeeper and see if he can come and capture it for you.
Oh.
Because a swarm of bees will start happening on those hot days in July is when it starts, and it goes right from then until about the end of August.
Okay.
I've got a neighbor that is 99% convinced she can smell honey in her kitchen. She's convinced that her attic is full of honeybees.
Wow.
It happens to be right in line from where my hives were, so it's a good chance one of my swarm got away and got down there.
Okay.
So what happened? What a swarm is basically the hive gets to be too full.
Okay.
And if you're not watching it closely or it grows too fast, the hive gets too full. They say, okay, you know what? We've got an issue here. We're gonna
They kick the young ones out, do they? They kick the teenage bees out? No.
No, they say, you know what? We're going to produce another queen. So they start the queen cell for a brand new queen. And then the queen says, okay, 50% of you and myself, eat as much honey as you can, and let's get out of here.
Really?
So they eat like pigs, and all of a sudden you hear what sounds like a jet engine coming over your head of a swarm flying, and it'll land in the first pine tree or the first tree, in a great big cluster. In the middle of that cluster is the queen.
Wow. Now, they are so it's amazing me how intelligent they are.
It's incredible.
Absolutely.
Yep. A whole community within itself.
All right. Well, we're going to have to stop for another commercial break.
Thanks.
And when we get back, we'll wrap up with our topic of bees. So thank you very much for listening. You are listening to Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101.
Looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario, or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price. Chris Lee West Indian Market has been serving the West Indian community for over 15 years. Visit their new location at 20 Harwood Avenue South, Unit 7 at Harwood and Kingston Road in Ajax. They have a wide variety of Oriental, East, and West Indian groceries, fresh fish, meat, and vegetables. Load up your cart with goodies from the island at very reasonable prices. They have weekly specials such as non-alcoholic wine at 2 bottles for $5. Visit Chris Lee West Indian Groceries at 20 Harwood Avenue South, Unit 7 at Harwood Avenue and Kingston Road in Ajax, or call them right now, 905-426-2111. That's 905-426-2111. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. And now, back to your host, Joanne.
Thank you very much, Gary. Well, thank you very much, Steve. I found this just another incredibly informative session, so I really appreciate you coming on and sharing with us all about the bees and proving once again how smart and intelligent they are. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited that you have help, that your son and your daughter-in-law-to-be are interested in following this.
Well, my wife always says I'm a type A personality. I go 100 miles an hour, and the only thing that slows and calms me are the bees.
Oh, wow.
Because if you're not slow and calm,
yes,
you're going to get stung.
That's right.
And my son is cut from the same cloth. So
is he? Okay.
He really has to slow down, and he's got a tendency of being a little rammy in the hive, and it's really, you know what, on Saturday, I could see that he was really doing his best to slow down.
Excellent, yeah. Excellent. And this must have been your future daughter-in-law's first time at, is that her first exposure?
She's been at the hive watching over my shoulder.
Okay.
The first time actually handling the bees and moving the hives around and stuff.
Excellent.
And she's the note taker as well, because we've gone all scientific with an app on our phone to be able to track all of our beehives. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And videos too. Like, can you take some videos with your phones and maybe post some of the videos?
Yeah, we could. We could. That's coming. I mean, we've got a brand new product. We'll talk about on the next time you have me.
Okay.
On.
I'd love to have you back anytime.
It's a really exciting product, and yeah, your listeners would really love to hear about it.
Yeah, because I think so much of, you know, what we're talking about, we are on the radio, so we're describing as best we can to our listeners. And but I think if we can refer back to a video, I mean, I'd be happy to share that on my website or on my social media. So if there's anything you have for me, you know, please let me know. And
if
I know we have
listeners want to come out and have a tour of the bee farm. I mean, it's really, the farm is all about knowing where your food comes from.
Excellent.
And we welcome anybody to come to the farm.
Yeah, I think I'm going to talk to my sons as well. I think it would be really interesting. Mm-hmm. And I think for our listeners, the one biggest takeaway is just we need to just start questioning.
Absolutely.
We need to start questioning our food. We need to start questioning our community. You know, here we're thinking a beet spray sounds very non-chemical and it's a better for our environment. And here it has the pesticides in it.
Yeah.
So I think we need to all be informed and aware and really start questioning and not just accepting things, you know.
There's a one of those YouTube things where kids in high school flip a card over. You know, the girl that committed suicide and she did the cards. She sent her message on YouTube.
Yes.
There's one coming out, if I'm not mistaken, tomorrow or the next day, and I'll make sure you get the link to it.
Okay.
It's a high school in Niagara that says exactly what you just said. Question where your food's coming
from.
Question what's in it. Just ask the question.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. And I know visiting... I know what's become popular in the Durham area close to me is, you know, I know at the Pickering Town Center every Tuesday is a local farmers market, other, you know, kind of areas. The farmers all kind of come to closer to the urban areas to sell their products.
Mm-hmm.
That would be good discussions to have with them as well, right?
Yep.
Are they using neonics?
Yep.
You know.
What do you use to control pests in your garden?
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you once again. Please send me that link. And if our listeners have any other questions, please, that you want to get to Steve, then I'll be happy to forward them on.
Yep.
So you can reach me here at realityradio101.com or my own business at joanne@down2earth.ca. Steve, is there anything else you'd like to share with us?
No, I could go on for hours.
You got something secret in the plans that you can't share with us yet, but if there's nothing else you'd
all
like...
All I can say is wish me luck that it's done by the next time you hear me on the radio.
Okay.
I really need everybody's support.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. And
thank
I definitely
so
will be contacting you about a tour. I definitely think I'd really like to do that. And even I'm part of the Pickering Horticultural Society as well, and I'm going to talk and see if there's something that they're interested in.
You want to do a bit of, we can record while we're out here, and you can throw that on your blog.
Yeah. No, that would be great. Thank you very much, Steve.
Okay, thank you.
Well, you have a great night, and keep me posted on your bees. So good luck.
I really appreciate the support.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks
all right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening. I wanted to leave you with a few tips since this is a gardening radio show. I hope you enjoyed the session about bees. And really, again, to coin Steve's phrase of the bees are really a canary in the coal mine for us. And really, I think they're to help us really question our food and our environment and take back control. So I hope you join me in further investigating that. But now back to our own gardens, we end up with some rain this evening here in southern Ontario, but we've had two stellar days. But I still did want to tell you, kind of play up also what we talked about last week, is it is still too early to rake.
Can I rake?
No, you can't rake yet. You scared me there. I forgot you were there.
No, because I was thinking about it today when I went out there. I moved some stuff in the yard.
Yes.
And I'm seeing all these leaves and debris and stuff. And I'm saying, oh, please, Joanne, let me rake.
No, you can't rake. And now that we've got more rain, nope, you can't rake.
Ugh.
So it's still early for raking and for aeration. And it is not warm enough for grass seed. I've discovered something too. Our guest in a couple of weeks, Miriam Goldberger, put out a really interesting blog about grass seed, and they're promoting this new coated grass seed.
I see that.
Do you see that?
I
well,
do.
You know what the trick is? So now they've coated it. So now you're getting less grass seed for more money.
And what is, they say though, the coated grass seed is supposed to, enhance with, is it fertilizer or keeps the moisture
know.
Or something?
I don't know. I just think it's, you
so
know.
So what's with the coating then?
I don't know. I think it's just a marketing thing. I really do. I'll investigate a little further and ask around for next week.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, right?
But it's, it's really, again, we got a question. We've got to think about these marketing. I know they're out there on the radio, on the TV saying, get out and get started fertilizing. And it really... is too soon, and for over fertilizing is not good for the environment, because then that runoff is just going into our sewer system. So please be patient. I say enjoy being the lazy gardener for as long as you can.
You know, the best way is just go out and buy 100 cans of green spray paint. And just that keeps it nice all summer.
Yes.
You don't have to put anything else on it. And the paint will stick.
So. Yes. Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, aside from the rain today, if your garden is pretty well drained, even though I said it's still too early for raking, aeration, and grass seed, if it's, you know, you're not sopping wet and leaving footprints, then I can say get out and you can start doing some cleaning up, you know, the debris in your garden. You can scoop up the leaves that are in the garden, Gary, by hand. But some doing some light pruning if you have pruning, if shrubs that you need to prune, maybe deadhead the hydrangeas, you know, off of your hydrangea bushes from last year, that type of thing. But if you find your feet are like sinking and you're getting stuck and you're leaving footprints, then it's still too early, and it really is best to stay out. So. Yeah, so everybody's sunny area that might be a little bit more dried out.
Yeah,
then that
I'll
would be
fine.
I'll
wait another week at least, minimum. Right?
Yeah, another week. We'll see what the temperatures bring. You know, it's warmed up. Baseball season has started for my son.
Yep.
He got a game in, a doubleheader in yesterday, and they've got a few games planned this week.
Good for him.
I'm hoping it stays. And yes, the baseball mom is here, still on the radio. our listeners, please don't forget to check out my website, downtoearth.ca. You can sign up for my seasonal tips guide, and that will be arrives in your mailbox, and lets you know what to do in your garden now. It's just monthly, and again, I just try to give you down-to-earth practical advice for your garden. And what to do this month, and sometimes, like the last little while, what not to do. So please check that out. And so I just wanted to thank my listeners once again for
a great
show.
That's right. And sign up for that newsletter, because you are sure to get, and this is free of charge. Now think about it. You don't get a lot of things free of charge, right?
True.
Anymore, let's be honest.
Well,
and
people will say you get a lot of emails,
but I think
it's a good email. It's practical advice. You can find it on all my social media as well. So you can follow me at Twitter at JoanneShaw_D2E.
And if you really, really enjoy our show, it's Joanne's show, but I'll say our show. I'm producing it.
Yes.
Please feel free. If you have a business either online or if you are in the community, no matter how small, no matter how large, from a dog walker to a car dealership, why don't you consider advertising on Reality Radio 101 for our great show here? And, you know, Down the Garden Path will be sure to get you some results. It's very inexpensive to advertise here, and this helps keep all our programming on the air. So consider advertising on Down the Garden Path with Joanne Shaw right here on Reality Radio. You can get a hold of her directly through her contact information, or you can contact us here at the radio station at 905-725-1907. That's 905-725-1907, and you'll be very, very happy with what we can do for you. So
excellent.
I just wanted to put that in there.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Gary.
Sure thing.
I really appreciate that, and I really hope I want to just continue to spread the good words that we're talking about here. And
yes.
And thank you very much for joining me down the garden path, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.